Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not afraid to
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. We pray that this Bible study on Psalm 119 has opened up your eyes to Scripture, as it has for many of us. We want to thank Sister Bobby Lively for taking the time to bring this to all of us. As many of you know, she is like the spiritual version of the Energizer Bunny. We want to take a moment to thank all of you that have served in our armed forces, law enforcement, and other first responders. During the holiday, we should all take time to pray for these brave men and women who do a job that maintains our freedom and could mean the sacrifice of their life in service to others. We also want to thank and pray for the families of those that serve. Each day, they know this could be the day that their dad or mom or husband or wife could not be coming home ever again. They don't do these jobs for wealth or fame. We want to make it clear that we are getting your comments on Facebook where you are asking for prayer. Sometimes there are over 100 a day. We cannot remember them all, but we do know a God who is just a small, it's just a small thing to take our prayer request to cover these requests. We cannot respond to all of you on a personal basis, but please know that we are praying for all of you. For those that are asking for financial assistance, we make all of our donations through our church organizations. They do their best to make the best use of these finances and supervise how they are used. We allow you to make posts to our Facebook page, and if someone feels that they want to do something direct, this option is still available for them to respond. We all are aware of the needs of people around the world, but I think we can learn from David in these scriptures that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. As always, we welcome your comments at the end of each show. But now we're going to bring you another song sung by the United States Marines.
Thank you.
was pretty awesome. That was our United States Marines. Blog Top Mom.
I love that. Hoopla. I was there saying that. Yes. No, lift your voice. That's wonderful. We believe in that for sure. So thank you, Sister Starla. And I send out my love and greetings to Wild Bill, who is just so sweet to let me spend this time with you both to look at this particular psalm, which has been a very turning point in so many ways that I study the Word of God. And I do love y'all very much, and I appreciate Joy Bells for her encouragement. And that Wild Bill will share with me a sermon that he had preached this past week, and it just meant so much to me to realize again how God has given us assurance over and over that he hears our prayers, and he's made our family, he's bringing our family close to him. What a wonderful privilege to be serving God together and praying together. And then just before the program, Sister Starla, you shared an awesome testimony with about your grandbaby being healed. And it just so flowed with everything that we've been talking about in Psalms 119, because it was going a direction that you didn't have any idea that God was preparing you and putting you in a place that you could pray that prayer of faith. And it was, God heard it, and then the child was healed. And that is just awesome. And that will be a lot about what we'll talk about today. So, if you want me to get right on into it?
Go for it.
All right. We do
appreciate you, Blog Talk Mom. I want you to know that, how much we love you, and we are so blessed to have you do this with us. And I know how excited you are about Psalm 119, and thank you for sharing that with us.
Well, you're quite welcome, and I give a little announcement. We're starting to work on a YouTube of me teaching, and one of the young men, Pastor Smith is our pastor, his wonderful wife, Sister Peggy, they're going on a mission trip right now, and they'll be back, but their 13-year-old son is putting together a YouTube, and we're sort of basing it on a radio program that I was privileged to do 15 or so years ago, like in 1995, whatever, and it's called Walking Through the Land of Promise. And so that's what we're doing, and it really fits in with Psalms 119, because we've talked so much about walking and definitely God's promises and what his word, breaking it down, when he says statutes, precepts, laws, when this is not just repetitious of the very same thing, but it's giving insights and deeper revelation to what God's word is. And just as you shared in the testimony, God gave you a boundary and led you in a direction, and because you were obedient and you were an obedient saint, child of God, then it worked. And that's what God wants it to be. He wants us to work in the realm of healing, the gifts of the Spirit, and the plan of salvation, as the Word of God plainly tells us how to be saved. There's 176 verses, as we have mentioned several times, in Psalms 119. It's in 8 verse sections, which make it 22 consonants in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, if you go through this 8 verses at a time, it will seem like it's saying sometimes the same thing over and over. But it talks about God's commandments, the decrees that God makes, and how we are to respond to that, his testimonies, the testimonies that are in the Word of God that we can read how what lesson is to be taught. And one that always stands up to me just immediately is the story of Ruth. I think that is one of the most beautiful stories of how unselfish she was. She was a Moabite. There was no way that she was even supposed to be in the picture. But her devotion and her love to her mother-in-law, and how she was willing to be working a field just work out in the field, just go there to be by her mother-in-law. And the love and the devotion and the purity and everything that was involved in her dedication led to she and Boaz married. He was the kinsman redeemer, which is an awesome story and a comparison to how God has redeemed us, how we are his bride. There are just so many. You take one testimony, like, and all of a sudden you're in the New Testament talking about the return of Christ. You may be in the Song of Solomon talking about the bride. You know, it is, all of it blends, and it's like, I guess my favorite dish, and this is probably changing the subject to some people, but I love a really good roast where somebody's put onions and carrots and they've got potatoes and a certain kind of roux, I guess you call it. The gravy's just perfect. I mean, that to me is top of the line. And that's nothing compared to taking the Word of God and then just allowing the Spirit of God to move upon us, move on our mind, our memories, on the, everything around us, and bring it together. And he would, you know, he loves that fellowship that with his people. And tonight when I was sitting at the table and I was sort of arranging different things that I wanted to maybe speak about and add to this, and the song is the one that I remember was sang by a country singer. I can't recall his name. But it says, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I go back to the garden where God walked with Adam and Eve, you know, was there, and how he desires that relationship. And yet we're so busy. We you know, we want to give him the leftovers. And what do we miss by allowing our life to be so full of everything to him? And it can only be done through being silent, you know, totally shutting ourselves in with him. And it's just a beautiful invitation that God has given us to focus on his word and his presence. Wanted to mention those, the out of the Word of God, we get counsel. That it definitely specifies that in some of these verses. His testimonies, his word, his laws, his judgments, they're our song. They are our direction. They're our boundaries. As I mentioned before, a boundary is a good thing. People that don't have a relationship with God can misunderstand when they see a child of God, the boundaries that they may have applied to their life, convictions that they will not do or they definitely will be responsible for, paying our tithes, giving in offerings, being faithful to the house of God, to the services. I noticed we've got different little groups that the church is spotless. I mean, you'll see two or three of the ladies up there, and they'll be cleaning, and the church is just so clean, and the lot is cleaned, and somehow or other the trash had gotten turned over. And I saw someone up there. My house is near the church, and they were picking all that trash up. And it's just, you know, it's just beautiful to be involved and to be part of a program like that. But the people that don't know, they would look at us and say, wow, you know, don't they have anything better to do or something? You know, misjudge the entire situation. So God wants us to know that he is our provider. He's given these promises to us, and that he will help us in every situation. We may not understand it. Sister Star was going to read some scriptures that will tie in with the particular eight verses that we're going to sort of focus on tonight. But we want to cling to these things. We want to pursue and follow after God and join him. Scripture and relationship is to join us to God. It's not to alienate us. Or, you know, I love, and when I first was so aware of John 3rd chapter and 16th verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I guess every child, that will probably, if they go to church, that would be one of their first verses that they would learn. But the next verse says that he came into the world not to condemn the world, not to put us down, not to hurt us, but that we would be saved through him. When I don't know how I missed that, but when I did hear it in my spirit for the first time, it was life-changing. He came into the world not to condemn me, but that I could be saved. I just think that is so beautiful, and it has been applied to many other devotionals that I've read and that scriptures that I've read in the Word of God. One of the things that we'll talk about, I guess it will be next week, would be the 8 verses that is called Dalit. And again, if I mispronounce it to you, I've already been told by professors that it doesn't matter. Just say it, because we're not probably any of us going to say it the way the Hebrew would do it in for each 8 verses. But it starts with, my soul cleaveth to the dust. And, you know, we're surrounded by all kinds of things that are not good. You know, our whole world is made up of, they're around us, as we see, it's not being led or formed by the Word of God, the media, anything. It's just not. And so, just like if you were walking through a field and it had been plowed up, you could get dirt and dust all over you. And it seems like that is, we get sort of just, we cling to it. It's just, or it clings to us. But we want to cling to God. We want to cling to him. And we can do that. It is this is where I will in a moment get to the scriptures. But I do want to thank you all again for allowing me to do this. I do highly recommend anyone that is listening tonight or has been listening, go to the archives, go to your place, and listen to the first, especially. Sister Starla read the entire Psalm 119. It was beautiful. And then now we did an introduction, and we're going in 8 verses at a time. And I was really hoping to do 2 or 3 today, but it seemed like that as I started studying, this one became so large, and there's so many beautiful things in it that I just don't really know what we'll do. But one of the things you will hear in Psalms 119 many times is the word quicken. The Bible will say, it will say, quicken me according to thy word. Quicken me. Quicken me. Okay, we know that quicken means alive. It makes us alive. But it's so much more. It's nourishment. Sister Starla and I were talking about vitamins and things that we could, special foods that we could eat. For our vision and to stay healthy. Well, the Word of God is like that. It nourishes us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there is nothing we can do without faith. It's impossible to please the Lord. So quickening us recovers us from whatever situation that we are calling on God for. It will make us over, and it will make us completely whole. This is quickening us. Just like a little baby is born, it's alive. It's come into this world. Everything is new. And this particular 8 verses, even though I'm going to go at it first in another direction, as I was studying it later on today, I thought of a little child. We have several newborn babies, little children in our church. And everything is new to them. It's new. They don't have the experiences or the memory to fall back on. It's new. And so they are always depending, especially one little boy that I'm thinking of, he is always depending on his mom, his dad, and his brother to let him know what's going on and to keep him involved and to make sure that everything goes his way.
And so this is sort of like this eight verses. It's saying, you know, hey, you know, God, look at everything that's going on. I need you to make this work. You know, put it all together. I just don't understand. Give me understanding. I don't know what to do. Show me the way. And so we are God's children, and we can go to him and say, I don't understand. Show me the way. Which way do I go? And he'll tell you in his word, here's the boundary. And right before the program, I was thinking about Simon Peter and about how he was such a special person that it seemed like all of us can relate to him, because he wanted to do the right thing in every situation. And then, you know, he just failed. He stepped out of the boat, the only one that stepped out of the boat to walk on the water. But he began to look at the waves, and all of a sudden he began to fall. But, you know, Jesus was there to bring him out of that situation. And then he said, you know, that he would die with him. There was no way that he would ever betray him, but yet he did deny him, just as Jesus said he would. He denied that he ever knew him. But then he went on, and in the process of his life, he loved the Lord. He was human. He made some grievous mistakes, but he couldn't let that be his identity. He couldn't stop at one of those places, that be his identity. Oh, I'm this, I'm that, whatever. He kept on moving forward. He kept on walking with God. He kept on obeying God's word. He kept on hearing God's word. And he made it all the way through to obey what God had told him he would do. He would give him the keys to the kingdom. He would give him the keys. It would be what his church, what God's church would be established and built upon. And we read that when we follow from all the way through the different things that happen to the book of Acts, the second chapter, and when Jesus was preached all to all of those thousands about this Jesus, you crucified him. He's Lord. He's King. He gave them the identity. He gave them the word flowing through him. And when they wanted to know what to do to be saved, I hope I say this every opportunity I ever have. He told them the exact way that they could be saved. You think, oh, well, be saved. No, we're born and we're on our way at that point to eternity. It may be a few days, it may be 100 years. But we're on our way. We're beginning our walk. And if we want to, the first thing we want to do, according to Acts 2:38, is change the directions of our feet. Start walking to that straight and narrow way. It says repent, be baptized in that awesome name of Jesus. The authority, that is the only authority that can be recognized. And your sins are remitted. Washed away just as if you had never done them. Think about that. And then God, as he breathed and brought life in the Genesis, changed darkness into light, all of the breath of God that would breathe upon us. That was so real to me today as I was praying. We used to sing that chorus, breathe on me, Lord. The power of God's breath. And it was a sound of a rushing, mighty wind. It wasn't a storm. It was the breath of God breathing upon his creation and renewing them back into the realm of that he died and rose again, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. Okay, now, I want to go into these scriptures. I hope that as you're listening, that you will get your King James Bible. You will turn to Psalms 119, and you will have you a pen and write down some of the scriptures that Sister Starla will read. I'll read some also. And now let's all join together and ask God to open our understanding and help us to go into his word. Lord, we do not presume upon you. We approach your throne We ask you, God, for that anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage, that our eyes would behold wondrous things out of your word, and our ears would be open to what you would say with your word and by your word, and that we would be changed. And we praise you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. When you talk about walking, I want to read a couple of scriptures. One is Psalms 143:8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindnesses in the morning. Okay, you're praying this. This is a scripture, Psalms 143:8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindnesses in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. That scripture is so beautiful. When we arise, when we face the day, Lord, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. I'll lift my soul unto thee. Psalms 138:7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble. Do we think about that? All around you. Even if you're not totally at that moment involved in it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Yes, we walk in the midst of trouble, but we reach out and that nail-scarred hand takes hold and pulls us through every situation. Psalms 116:9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So he says, beginning Psalms 119, we walk with the Lord. We walk in that way and we honor him. And so now when we get to this portion of scripture, and it's Gimel, which what we're going to do now. Let me see. I want to read it all the way through. Just 8 verses. It says, deal bountifully with thy servant. This is verse 17. That I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. There are several ways to approach that 8 verses. One, you can imagine yourself in a courtroom, and you know that the testimony is coming from the Lord, and the testimonies are coming from those that know the truth, and he's the righteous judge, and the accuser, he's already lost. He's done had his head smashed, so we don't have to worry about him. So this is a very victorious 8 verses. Let me see. Which verse would you want to start with? I think the first one was, I'll read this one. In the 17th verse, deal bountifully. Okay. In Matthew 11:28, it says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Okay. You don't just say, deal bountifully. Oh, I'd like for you to deal bountifully. If you are laboring under anything, addictions, depression, oppression, if you feel heavy laden, come to him now, and he will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. This is what the Lord says, and learn of me. How? By going into his word. And then he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Psalms 116, 6 through 8. The Lord preserve, I love this one because sometimes I feel very simple-minded. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but that does apply to me in many, many situations. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. Back with dealing bountifully. Do you ever just feel like you're just so excited in the wrong way? You're so troubled, you just, oh, everything, whatever. But just rest. Return. Right there. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. The Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. Psalm, the 8th verse, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. That's not just poetry. That is awesome. Because no matter what we walk through in this little space of time, from the time we're born until we die, God delivered us from the death. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He has delivered us. You say, well, you won't die? There's a death that we just die in the physical, and then there's an eternal death. And I don't mean that it ends, but it's in a hell that will burn, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. We don't want to go there. We want to live with Christ forever, and he made it possible. He redeemed us. He is our Savior. He has delivered our feet from falling. Okay, I want to get to this, Sister Starla. Hers is going to be, when you go to the 19th verse, it says, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Now, I've had, at least two beautiful insights. When I first read this, I could not really get anything out of it. I sort of understood it, but it just didn't, I didn't even start to comprehend how beautiful it was going to be. So I'm going to do 119 and 18, and then we're going to go right into 119 again. Oh, the 18 says, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. We go to Ephesians 1, 17, 18, and 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't that awesome? That we go before God and we ask, Lord, I want wisdom and I want revelation and knowledge about you. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. Praise the Lord. Okay, Sister Charlotte, excuse me. If you'll read 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 6.
One through six?
Yes.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord.
I love that. We're just pilgrims. We're just strangers, you know. Here, our home is with him forever. And Sister Starla, you have then 7 through 11? They're in the same. Okay. And before you start, he gives us the earnest of the spirit. I'd heard a preacher preach, you know, when you buy a house, you go put your earnest money down. You know, that's your house. You know, and God's already given us the earnest of his spirit. Can you imagine what the full thing is going to be like when we dwell with him forever? Oh, no, we cannot comprehend the greatness, the majesty, the wonder of our God. Okay, Sister Star.
For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience.
This portion of scripture is if we'll take time and meditate on this, it is such an instruction to us. We are strangers in the earth, but we have commandments that we are responsible for. God has done his part. We are to do our part. And that, you know, we labor. We go through things. But we want to be accepted by the Lord. We will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We will receive the things done in the situation that we have been, that God has given us, each of us. And we want, it's not like a burdensome thing. It's a tremendous privilege to walk with the Lord and to be part of that. I cannot tell you any situation in my life ever that was as exciting or more pleasurable or more thrilling or more life-changing than to be in the presence of God, to see someone born again, to watch as God heals and turns people's lives around. There's nothing greater. And I hope we have time tonight to talk about we are his treasure. And then the greatest treasure is him for us. If we gain the whole world and lose our soul, we have lost foolishly. Think about that. If you gain the whole world and just be lost, I mean, there's nothing we want to trade for this relationship with God. At all, ever. And the enemy, as we know, our adversary, he comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy, he is the accuser. So we stay in the realm, as we're reading right here, we want to stay in the realm, the earnest of God's Spirit that will bring us through every situation victorious, and we will bring glory to our God. Psalms 119 and 20, it says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Being broken, being crushed. One of our young women, she's I think still in school, and she spoke to our alcohol chemical treatment meeting, and she talked about being broken. And she did. She went through a lot of very, very serious things in her life as young as she is, but how God had shown her that through that brokenness that he could shine and lead others, and she is a soul winner. I mean, the light within shines forth. So yes, we could be broken, but do we want to shine for Jesus? Do we want to turn that over and let him be glorified, or do we want to just get a certain identity and stay right with that? Let's don't do that. Let's drop the baggage and go forth and do what God has called us to do. Psalms 119:21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Luke 18:9. It's Luke the 18th chapter 9 and 10. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, really catch this. We're talking about this 119:21 says, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Then we go to Luke, and here are those that they're righteous, are they? And they despise others. The 10th verse, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Star, would you please read the rest of those scriptures, please, in Luke 18.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Wow, what a lesson. What a lesson. I've been so privileged to have Pastor Jean Holland, who's now the bishop of our church, and she taught us by example and from the pulpit and in ministers' meetings, you don't go anywhere and be rude to anyone. If your meal when you go out to eat didn't turn out like you wanted it to, then tip a little bit more than you ever did before, because you don't know what that person was going through that would have made them mess that up like they did. And it has just changed. We've got the most generous, kindest church I believe I've ever seen. People that come. We had two, a boy and a girl, or I think the court assigned them to come to our ACTS, our alcohol chemical class, and they were baptized in Jesus' name. They prayed through. It was just beautiful. And they just kept going, saying how friendly, how kind everyone was. And that's it. I mean, if we stand off like, oh, look at that person, you know, whatever, you know, we missed it completely. I mean, that is a really plain group of scriptures right there for us to hold ourselves by, to be, we want to be loving, kind, generous, and we want that light to shine through us. We want to be channels of the love of God, and we can do that, but we can't do it without His Word, walking with Him. Sister Starla, do you have Luke 14, 8 through 14?
When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he hath bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. How far? 14. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also unto him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither any kinsmen, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again. And I reckon, but when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
That is so beautiful. And it doesn't mean, you know, you can't have family get-togethers and whatever. But these scriptures written by God used Luke. He's the one that was the doctor. He went to the details of service and servanthood. And he brought it out so plainly. You know, you go to and I'm not saying that maybe the majority of us would want to go and get the best seat and, you know, promote ourselves. But I know that there's a feeling that you have to battle about getting credit. You know, did I get credit for that? You know, I mean, I did so-and-so. And I know a particular thing happened here August, a couple of weeks, less than about a month ago, I guess. And when it worked out, the Lord had dealt with me to do some things. And everybody, the other people got a lot of credit, and I didn't get any. It was so funny. I didn't want it. I've even prayed at times when people would call my name a lot that they would quit doing it. But anyway, I was sitting there and I thought, well, what about what I'm ashamed to tell you that it was in my mind, but I didn't get credit. And I wasn't angry. It was just a thought, you know, just, I don't know. I didn't get credit anyway. And so I was praying about it. I said, Lord, forgive me. I sense that my attitude is pretty stinking here. I don't like this. And this maybe everybody doesn't agree with it, but it was like the Lord impressed on me that because I didn't get credit, I get more of a blessing. It's not getting credit. When you get credit, it sort of, that's your blessing. But when you don't, and you've obeyed God, and you've done what you were supposed to do, then God is wide open. he can turn around and really bless you physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way. And so I thought that was, we have to be on guard, though. We can't just, it's like the lesson we did on cobwebs. If there's a cobweb, believe me, there's a spider. And so if you feel things like that when you're in the Word of God and you're meditating on the Word of God, let it clean you up. That's what all of these things that we're reading. Let the Word of God wash you. Wherewithal, we had it last week. Shall a man cleanse his way? It's the Word of God that washes us. And it will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because as we read, we repent. According to that scripture in John, Lord, yes, I'm guilty. So you can forgive me and then cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And he does it. It's a done deal. Sister Starling, you are an excellent reader. I do so appreciate you doing that. This latter part of it, as I mentioned, you know, of course you can have families together. But do we think about this? When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just, for thou shalt be recompensed. So that's exactly what the example that I gave. But we're approaching the holidays. There is an extremely higher rate of, I don't like to use the word, but well, I will just say there's a lot of depression, oppression that comes to people that for a lot of different reasons. So let's be kind, more kind. Let's tip greater than we ever have. At least tip. Do something when you eat out that shows that you appreciate it. A lot of places that's all they receive would be the tip that the people leave. There's very small salary. But mostly be kind and be grateful. I was told that by a person that is a very friendly person, but they said they had seen some of our people eating and they didn't offer thanks. And I don't know why that seemed funny to me. It seems absurd, because how would you know if someone is offering thanks? You don't have to bow your head and pray for 10 minutes, you know. I don't know. That was so funny that someone would notice that. But just in case, maybe we should think about it. Maybe that's one way we could glorify God, by taking time, bowing our head, and actually saying a grace that would be a witness to those around us that we do believe and we are thankful to our God. So that was just something I wanted to put in there. The 22nd verse here of Gimel, 119:22, it says, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies." And there's scriptures here in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, quite a lengthy reading, but Sister Star is going to read 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. Here we're talking about reproach and contempt.
"Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God as on this behalf. For this time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator."
Thank you, Sister Starla. This is a beautiful portion in 1 Peter to let us realize that we will be reproached. This "remove from me reproach and contempt," it doesn't mean that we won't go through these things. It means that the effect of it will glorify God. Trials are trials. Warfare is warfare. Heartaches are heartaches. "But if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified." That is just so beautiful. I mean, it's one thing if we've done things wrong and, you know, you have to suffer for that. But if you suffer as a Christian, never be ashamed. Just know that it glorifies God. And so that is so beautiful. Thank you again. In Psalms 119, back to the 23rd verse, and this 8 verses, the section of Gimel, and I don't know if I mentioned it, but I think of camel, so I can know it's Aleph, Beth, and then C would be camel. But anyway, if there's no camels, I looked all through the scripture, I couldn't find any camels, so... that's supposed to be funny, y'all. good person with humor. Okay, 23rd verse. Thank you, Sister Starla. I really appreciate that. "Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. And I will say, that the times that, I'm not talking about other people necessarily, but when the enemy has come against me and I am in spiritual warfare, the Word of God is my weapon. He'll say, you can't do this. There's no way you can do this. You're simple-minded. And I'll say, oh, Honest 119 tells me that he works with the simple-minded people. You know, and I don't know. He says, the enemy says, you can't do that. And I'll say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I remember when I was first living for the Lord, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. I put that to music. I learned that one. I mean, I could sing it. And even as I mentioned when we first started on Psalms 119, I receive a tremendous presence of God by just quoting it as in the evening. I love to just quote it. I actually can only quote by memory 60-something verses. But that's a miracle for me ever, but especially at 77. Okay. Princes also did sin and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Revelation 12 and 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So read the back of the book. We win. Of course, you can go to Genesis 3:15, and you know we win, even though the battle is going forth for sure. Has Wild Bill been able to join us?
Not as yet.
Okay. Psalms 119 and 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. This, out of all of the 60 verses, excuse me, this is one that has stood out, I guess, the most. And I've referred to it several times, to go to the testimonies in the Word of God, and I'm delighted. And it counsels me of how I am to act, how I am to do, how I am to walk with God and believe and not be discouraged, you know, and not have my values in the wrong place. It's so easy sometimes to set our priorities wrong. So the testimonies of others that have overcome, I'm delighted in that, and they counsel me as to how I am to live and how I am to walk before the Lord. In 2 Timothy 3:12, did I give that to you, Sister Starless?
No.
Okay, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus, there's going to be persecution from the realm of the enemy, from the realm of the world, all the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all of these things, more and more, the Bible says in the verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in all things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is Christ Jesus. It's in the Scripture, the Word of God, walking, leaning into, meditating upon. It is in the Word of God. Sister Starless, do I hear Wild Bill?
You most certainly did.
All right.
Wild Bill?
Hey, I'm really enjoying this. I'm sorry I took so much time with the songs in the beginning, but I did want to give honor to our troops. Really, the first song set more of a tone for the Bible study, but it's just when I ran across that on YouTube with those men in a church service that was deployed over in Iraq or Afghanistan, and they were doing the hand motions and everything, I thought, wow, sometimes we get to look at our country as just being just bad. You know, we don't understand that there's people of God in everything that's going on around this world. You know, we get just sometimes so locked into our little piece of the pie that we think we're it. And it's just not the way that it is. And so I wanted to give credit where credit was due. And I'm like you, Blog Talk Mom. I loved how they put their little hurrah in there on the where they were responding. And it was just, they were having a great time in a service that was set up to worship and praise God. And it just, I don't know about you, but it just did my heart good. And I do understand a lot what you're talking about sometimes. It seems like we get used quite a bit in church. We've only been in our church about 4 years in February where we're working right now. And I'm blessed to be used quite a bit. And I don't want to forget when I first came there how hurt I was and how that I thought that I probably was not ever going to stick my head out to do a Sunday school class or a lesson. Or matter of fact, you were even running the Blog Talk page for me. I just, I had someone that I had followed so close and trying to please. And then just the way the whole thing came apart, it just shattered something inside of me. And I was like, you know, why? But then looking back, I've not ever been boiled in oil or crucified upside down or stoned and left for dead. And, you know, some of those things, you know, wow, man, I had my feelings hurt. You know, it makes you, you know, as you go through the scripture, realize just how blessed you are. But at this church, I try to make sure that I just stay in my space, even though the pastor here has given me an exuberant amount of liberty. And there's such a liberty in the pulpit in this church. And I won't ever forget that when I came in, he acknowledged me as a preacher. He didn't ask me, you know, he didn't, you know, say, you know, hey, can you preach or something like that. You know, he treated me as an elder and a preacher when we first walked in the doors the very first time we were there. And so it did something to let me know that that what I do is not of me, but it's of what is inside of me. And because if it was of me, it would never amount to anything. I don't speak that well. I'm not that well educated. I got a high school education, got almost enough classes. It was my police work and everything to have a criminal justice degree, an associate degree in criminal justice. And that's about it. You know, I was blessed to go to a Christian school, and I had a mom that taught me to love the Word of God. And I've been very sensitive to the flowing of God's Spirit. But went all the way around the barn to say this. On Sundays, they do a thing where they call people up for their birthdays, and we don't sing the normal happy birthday song. And if they're under a certain age, they get money. If not, you just get a handshake and a hug. Well, this last weekend, they didn't call me by name, and I wasn't going to volunteer to get up here because I don't need that status thing. You know, it's not something that I require. And anyway, they went through the whole thing, and everybody was sitting down, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, that was cool. And then next thing I know, Pastor calls me to come up front. He says, Brother Bill, come up here just a minute. And he says, this is what happens when you don't get into the flow of things that are supposed to happen. And he had me stand there, and they went through the whole thing again just for me. And I was like, wow. You know, it would have been a whole lot easier just to got up there with everybody else, you know, because I didn't want to feel like I was singled out, and then I was singled out. But it's a lot of it has, you know, I know that I'm one of those people that if I go out and I work hard and we go to a restaurant, that, you know, I want my food the way that I ask for it. And so I don't have a problem with sending it back. I don't like half-cooked meat. I like meat well done. And so, you know, when I stick a fork in it and it moves, that means it's got a heartbeat, I'm going to send it back. But there again, there's a way to be polite about it. You know, not get your hackles all raised up, so to speak, until I've been around animals a lot. And, you know, and then don't take it out on the waitress. I've had a lot of times to where the waitress, the managers came out and not charged me for a meal. And then we turn around and we tip that back to the waitress, you know, because it's not their fault. They just bring out what's cooked. And so, you know, you can handle things with a smile on your face. And it's hard not to be frustrated when everybody else is done eating and, you know, your dinner's just coming back out, you know, being cooked right. You know, it's hard to keep a right attitude about it. But when you stop and think about it, when is the last time you've ever went through a day and never made a mistake all day? Not any. Not misspoke, not hurt someone's feelings, you know, not cut somebody off in traffic because you're in a hurry, not thought of a bad thought about somebody, not judged somebody else for their walk with God. Just little things in your day makes it very clear that as human beings, we are not perfect, not by a long shot. And so there again, that's what I love about the boundaries, the statutes, the laws, the everything that was put out to be a protection for us. But just knowing that that was all there and how much David appreciated it, to realize that I have the Holy Ghost that can quicken me, because the Holy Ghost lives inside of me, it's going to quicken me. Hey, you've hurt somebody. Your voice was a little sharp. You got a bad attitude. You need to repent. You know, it's one of those things, the love of God. I think the reason Psalms 119 means so much is because you realize what it was then, and then when you compound it or multiply it with what we have now, wow. Wow, just to think about the love of God and to understand that there's no way that we're ever going to outgive him. He's not sitting up there with a lightning bolt across his knee just waiting for us to mess up so he can zap us. He loves us. He's on our side. He's rooting for us. I keep forgetting, and I always mispronounce the word, where it talks about the Holy Ghost. Help me out, Starlet. What's the word starts with? Paraclete? Is that right?
Right.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost being a paraclete, it's there alongside us, not like a crutch. We're talking about a super crutch. It's not just a crutch. It's one of those things that's a door. And when things come against me, it can keep things on the other side away from me. That paraclete of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, David, he had an understanding that God was there, but he didn't really have the full picture because the New Testament plan hadn't come into being yet. They still had to do their sacrifices. They still had to honor the Sabbath day. They still had all the things of the law, the 600 and some different laws that was put in place that was so tied together that if you broke one, you broke 50 more. That God had a plan for those to push us in one direction so that when we had the Holy Ghost, it could put us right there on the mark and help keep us there and be that support that we need. So thank you again, Blog Talk Mom. I thoroughly enjoyed this, and each week I look forward to what you have for us. And I just want to thank you so much for instilling in me as a young age with your little planograph characters up on a board, you know, to let me know. It never was stories to me the way that it was shown to me. And I'm so thankful that because of your prayers, I shared this with someone the other day, how that, you know, God gave you a vision that I was going to be like a tree, you know, planted by waters. And, you know, even though it didn't look like I was going to be much more than a stump, an opportunity was there for Satan to take me out on more than one occasion because I was one of those kids that I had the need for speed. It's probably a good thing my truck don't run at 63 miles an hour, especially when it's time to go home, because I still have a little bit of that need for speed in me. But I'm just so thankful to know that God is faithful and he will do what he said he would do, and his promises are yea and amen. So that's all I had for tonight, guys.
I really appreciate it, Wild Bill. I just this has been a real privilege, and I do not take it for granted. And I trust that with your prayers and with Sister Starla, you and I prayed before we earlier, and that the people listening will really hear what we're saying. We have found a great treasure, and we want to share that. This Search for Truth Bible study that I love, and through the years I've used it. The United Pentecostal Church offers it free. Some churches here locally teach it three nights a week for three different age groups. They have a huge church, and it's so they can do that. But at the beginning of one of their books, it says that this was a story about a family that was extremely poverty-stricken. Just as they didn't have anything, but they did have a house. They couldn't pay utilities, but they had this house. And after a while, there was an attic, and they got it in their mind they were going to go up in that attic and just see if there was something of it they could use. And it was trash. I mean, it was trash, 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 trash. But they just kept on. And they got rid of all the trash. And there was a box underneath all the trash. And when they opened it up, it was full of gold, silver, jewels, all kinds of precious jewels. And if we realize that if we just get rid of the trash, just get rid of it, it's something that we can do and something God will do with us and for us. This is the greatest treasure, and His Word is treasure after treasure after treasure. Back to Psalms 119, in the 72nd verse, it says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." In verse 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Let's ask God to give us that kind of love for His Word. Let's walk with Him because He wants to walk with us. And as Wild Bill says, He is God, the paraclete, that comes alongside. And there's so many illustrations we could use, but just think about it and allow God. We're His treasure. We're His peculiar treasure. Exodus 19:5 says, "Now therefore," God is saying, "if you obey His voice and keep His covenant, then you are a peculiar treasure unto Him above all people, because the earth is His." So let's serve Him, and let's serve Him with a glad heart. For where your heart is, there your treasure is. Or where your treasure is, there your heart is. Either way. "And a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." You can take that scripture two ways. One, I take it that Jesus sold out everything. He gave His life. No greater love can you have than to lay down your life for a friend. He gave His life. And we are His treasure. And then He is our treasure above all things. If we gain the world and lose Him, we will be the greatest fools. So let's serve Him and serve Him with gladness and seek Him with our whole heart. Thank you, Wild Bill. Thank you, Sister Starla. And I pray that each person listening will respond to you. And if there's anyone would like to respond now, but that they will know that this is for them. And that we love them. So thank you, Sister Starla.
Well, thank you, Blog Talk Mom. We did so enjoy that. That is, you are getting to be quite the expert on Psalm 119. And it's so enjoyable the way that you present it. It's just an awesome study. And I understand why you fell in love with it, because it is just awesome. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to share with us?
I just want to tell you and Ma Bill that I love you very much, and to proclaim to everyone that's listening, God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And He cares about whatever you're going through. He came to this world to break all of the bondage, breaking all of the chains. He came to heal the brokenhearted. So just lift your heart to Him and let Him do a work. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, move with a special anointing on the word that went forth into the hearts of those that would listen, that it would bring forth fruit to the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again.
Jesus' name. Well, thank you so much, Blog Talk Mom and Wild Bill. We so appreciate all the work that you guys put into it. And we want to thank everybody for listening this week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.